Jesus, as a matter of fact, he explicitly calls them out here towards the end of our passage here. And he says, you do everything to be seen by men, and I do everything to please my Father. So if you would, we are going to read a somewhat lengthy portion of Scripture this morning, but it all flows together. And remember that the animosity against the Lord Jesus is continuing to increase. Moment by moment, day by day, the animosity against the Lord Jesus, we are within a week or so of when the Lord Jesus would be crucified on the cross. So the tension, the hate towards the Lord Jesus is only being amplified. So here we are in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And he, the Lord Jesus, began to speak to them in parables. And by the way, we're going to have six little sections here, so this is the first section. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the winepress and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed. And so with many others, beating some and killing others, he had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine growers said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not ever read this scripture? That we actually, I'm sorry, this is Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them, and so they left him and went away. Continuing on in our second section, verse 13. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians, and just so you know, we'll talk about this in just a moment. This is basically like saying the Democrats and the Republicans came, all right? They were on opposite ends of the spectrum. The Pharisees and the Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at. They brought one, and he said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were amazed at him. Verse 18, some Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and began questioning him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. And so it was established there in the law that that was the custom of the day. And verse 20 would say, There were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died, leaving no children. The second one married her and died, leaving behind no children. And the third likewise. And so all seven left no children. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, when they rise again, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her. Jesus said to them, Is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the Scriptures or the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken. Verse 28 would continue, One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, What commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, Right, teacher. It's good that he gave that affirmation. Right, teacher. You have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And that after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. And finally, if you just read with me from verse 35 to 40, we'll conclude our scripture meeting this morning. And Jesus began to say, as he taught in the temple, How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David? David himself said in the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So in what sense is he his son? And the large crowd enjoyed listening to him. In his teaching, he was saying, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief priests or chief seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. And we'll stop right there for a moment. Our Father, we've read many verses here this morning, and we trust that just even in the reading of your word, that these living words would affect our life. We pray now that you would just give us insight into these things, that you would help us as we would consider your truth, consider the Lord Jesus and his interaction with people. And we pray that you would apply these things to our heart. Whatever our needs, Father, are, we pray that you would give us insight this morning. We ask all this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we read, again, an extended portion of Scripture this morning, 40 verses together. And you see the Lord's interaction with different groups or different individuals, and then he volunteers some information and asks them some questions. They were coming to the Lord Jesus with various questions, and then there we saw towards the end that he himself asked a question. But I would just point your attention back to chapter 12, verses 27 through 33. It was this kind of the beginning of this section, in my opinion. Remember, the chapter breaks are not necessarily inspired, but the verse 27 of chapter 11, they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple, and the chief priests and the scribes and elders came to him. And so you have these different groups, and they were asking him questions. In that particular portion there in chapter 11, they said, who gave you the authority to come into the temple and overturn the tables and upset our way of business? And he said, well, I'll ask you a question. Was the baptism of John from heaven, in other words, was it from God or was it from man? Was it just another fad? Was it just another religious thing? And they wouldn't answer it because the people had a great respect for John, and they knew that if they said it was from men, that they would be stoned by the people. And if they said from heaven, the Lord Jesus would say, well, why didn't you believe it? And so the Lord Jesus asked a question to get them to think and to get them to respond and hopefully to get them to respond in faith. Unfortunately, they did not. But you have all these different groups, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and then you have one there at the end that we'll talk to in just a minute. But you have all of these different religious entities, and they're all teaming up to try to trap the Lord Jesus. They're all trying to somehow do away with what they would call this pest. We just came through the Tower of Babel, and we were talking about, and the Lord said, they have one mind, and nothing that they intend to do will be impossible for them. Well, you see people that were normally very opposed to each other coming together for a common cause. Over in Acts, in one of the trials that Paul was in, he saw that one group was Pharisees and one group was Sadducees. And he pitted them against each other in that scene. But here, you see no animosity between them. They're all trying to get the Lord Jesus. So having that kind of as a context, beginning in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 12, we have this parable. It's repeated in the other three Gospels, or Matthew and Luke, rather, the Synoptic Gospels. And it's one of those parables that, in large part, we grasp the significance of, or we should. And it's this parable of a man who had a vineyard, put a wall around it, dug a vat under the wine press, and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers. And we understand, even by the interpretation given in verse 12, that this is referring to the nation of Israel. Paul is taking us through the gospel or the book of Genesis, and we see the beginning where God called Abraham. And God intended for Abraham, and he is, to be the point at which the whole world would be blessed. Now, his intention was to have the nation of Israel. He had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, Israel, the sons of Jacob, to be the God's chosen people, and through which the entire world would be blessed. Preserves our heart. Sometimes, Father, that can be quite scary, because we have a wicked heart at times. But Father, we know that the Lord Jesus came to set us free. The Lord Jesus came to give us living water. We thank you for our Savior, who is available to anyone at any time. We thank you for the fact that although he was a stone of stumbling and he was rejected, he is that cornerstone on which we can build our life. We thank you that he lives forevermore. And he's always making intercession for us. We thank you for this passage of Scripture again, and we just pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing and care. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.